costs more to get new clients than it is to keep your clients coming back. Hello and welcome back. Our topic is something that we hear a lot from beauty pros in general, estheticians, and I think anybody in the service-based industry is, how do you keep your clients coming back, right? We can get them, but I think, Suzanne, you always talk about this, where it costs more to get new clients than it is to keep your clients coming back. So today we're going to talk about the formula you need to keep your clients coming back, client retention.
This is it's forever been this topic. I don't think it'll ever change, right? And nowadays, I mean, as we know, it's much more competitive as well. There is actually formulas out there to follow, but we're going to try to approach it to the beauty professional and see if we can bring this down a little easier and simplify things. So think about the client's journey. It's not just about your treatment or the service that you're providing. It's personal and long-term is the idea behind it. So, you know, yes, you want transformations. Yes, you want all those. They're all key. There's just so much to this. And I know that some of the key things that come out, and we'll start maybe with the first topic, because there's a few of them. It's like a formulation or a big recipe you're about to follow.
So yeah, and I think if for those of our listeners or viewers who like to Google it, there's a lot of stuff about customer journey and customer journey mapping or whatever. But how do we make that applicable to beauty professionals? And that's what we have done, is taken this classic client journey or customer journey. I don't know the specific technical name, the customer journey map, and then applied it to aesthetics, beauty industry. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps. So we're going to go through them one at a time.
And some of you you're just doing this naturally. It's just who you are. Some are missing points. And I think that that's something to recognize. Like, oh, well, so-and-so, she's always so busy. Mm-hmm. How do you do it? And they don't know how to answer that, because then just naturally you're doing it. So I think if you are listening to this, you can look at, is there anything more you could add to your steps or what you do with your clients? And I think that's what this is really about, is to really fine tune and hone in. And sometimes we have to sit back, you know, with someone else's lenses looking in at us. And you might need to practice that with someone, a friend, you know, partner, maybe your coworker, someone you work with and collab with. It's fun to do that, because they're usually honest with you too, which is great. And that's the whole purpose behind it. Okay, let's fire away. What's the first one, Doreen?
Okay, the first one is awareness. So we talk, you know, this is getting people to really know about you. And I feel a lot of people do live in this space. Like, there's a lot of focus on the awareness. How do I get clients? How do I get clients, right?
Right. So you're saying before they even come in?
Yeah.
Like, how do they find you?
How do they discover your business?
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's the first step. When you're thinking about this customer journey as a whole, and it's the first step because you have to make sure there's a consistency in everything that you do. So if they first learn about you because you've posted some super relaxing facial videos, but they come in and you've got some pumping music or whatever, like the vibe is totally different, that's not consistency. And then that's going to be a break in that customer journey. So I think that first awareness and impression, that's, you have to cultivate that so that it's consistent and goes through everything that you do interacting with your client. So that reason, it has to be genuine. It has to be just be yourself.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's kind of like, you know, you go and you see this Airbnb online. Oh my God, it's so amazing. Or the hotel that you're booking by the beach. And oh my God, and you get there and go, oh my God, what is this? It's a disappointment right from the get-go. So we'll keep that one simple. I think that probably resonates with everyone with those examples.
Yep, absolutely. So, okay, after the awareness, so just kind of setting the stage, The second is consideration. Or maybe you have it labeled differently. We can rephrase it. The second stage is the research phase.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Contemplation, they call it.
What's that?
Contemplation, they call it in the fitness world. Yeah.
Contemplation. There you go. Yes. See, there's different words for it. But like
every industry has it. Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. But like figuring out what people want, like what are your clients looking for, right?
Yes. Yep. So if I'm considering to get my lashes done, I'm going to go research and look and see everybody's things and then maybe talk to a few friends or who out there, or there's so many groups now, like communities out there, we'll say, and they ask each other. So who do you go to? Why do you go? How much do they charge? Where are they located? They're digging for information because they're considering now. That's that first step or contemplation.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing, they're not committed yet. They're just doing the research. And I've done that where I keep looking and saying, I'm honing in on one person for something. And I go, I think I like that. And then I kind of watch and monitor and see. And then I contemplate for a long time, see. And then all of a sudden one day I just go, okay, that's it. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to do it. And that contemplation could be one day, a week, a month, a year.
Yep.
There's no time frame on it. And you can't rush people in this phase of their journey.
And I think part of what you can do as the beauty pro for this phase is to share what you do with the people around you. You know, you can, if you walk into a new social setting, for example, and you're like, I do aesthetic. Great. But that doesn't really actually tell people what you do. So if your focus is on lashes, then you should say, I do lash extensions. I help, you know, the lashes I really focus on are wispy.
Tell the story.
Yeah. Like tell what it is you do, because that person might refer somebody to you.
I was just going to say, I don't have lashes. I don't do lashes just because I cannot do it every few weeks. I can barely go in and get my nails done, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really bad for that. I'm a terrible client. It's not that I don't love it. It's time and everything. But I still look for people who I know are good at nails or pedicures or whatever it may be. I say, you know what? There's a couple of people I can refer you to. Just because I don't have the service doesn't mean I'm not talking about you. So remember that clients. And I think I learned that a lot in my time of having my own spa was that whoever was getting their nails done, it's like, I don't get facials done there, but I know people do and they always love it. I hear them at the desk talking. So you're right. Like you need to continually tell people and talk about it. And so your journey could even be like, how are you doing? Instead of just, I'm fine. I'm doing all right. It's like, my God, I had the best day yesterday. I had this client come in. And you start talking about, you don't want to mention your client to detail, but maybe talk about, her skin was, she just loved the glow at the end. And I just loved doing this for my clients. Mm. Or, we couldn't figure out a color and she actually finally trusted me to pick my nail color.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Like, so you want to be able to talk about it without selling yourself. Sales, not about that. It's about the experience. And it could even be like she had a cancellation, but my clients are so amazing. I put it out there and they jumped on it so fast. I'm so blessed to have the clients I have right now.
And you can do that with your existing clients. So if you're doing a pedicure client, talk about the other services that you provide, because you might not know it, but they could be looking for a facial.
Someone like it. Yes. And that is actually where we always started, was in-house, cross-promoting between the different services, and it was a team effort. So like if you're in nowadays, you're probably going to be more in studios. Everyone's got their own little place. Mm-hmm. You should be connecting with each other. And if they're not connecting, you need to do it and step out. Say, hey, I was just curious about your services. And, I want to be able to see what you do. And I saw you on Instagram. I'm following you now. Tell me more, because I would love to refer you. And when you have time, you should come see me. you know, or maybe we can exchange services and see how we do and try to get clients together. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, and then you can give that, the word of mouth is huge. It, unfortunately, the bad one is worse. Mm-hmm. That travels, 20 times faster now than even before. So trying to find that positivity on that and then talking about what you do with others, like you said.
Yeah.
Within the service, it's like your clients usually come and say, you know, coming in to have their waxing done and say, hey, Dreen, how are you doing today? And you should, oh, I'm doing great. Oh my God, I have the best day ever. I don't talk about, I love the sun, sure, but I still reference what I'm kind of doing in the day of the place I work mm-hmm. at and what yeah. am I up to. And I think we yeah. forget when they say, how are you? Yes, you want to be genuine, say, oh my God, I don't know. My kids are driving me crazy. My partner's driving me crazy. My mom, whatever it is. But we get too personal on that. We forget the journey is really about your client and yeah. not about you.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that's the part that you can say, you know what? Oh, I'm having a rough morning. Didn't start out great with my kids. So let's forget about that and let's talk about you.
Honestly, that's what they want to talk about too. They're just being nice, asking you how you're doing so we can get that over with and talk about which it's fair. That's, you know, it's their time. Okay, cool. So that was the research phase. And then we're going to move on to the third step, and that is decision or purchase, right? This is when they're ready to book a treatment mm-hmm. or book a consultation. This is where you can have the opportunity, A, to make it easy. Make it easy.
Booking.
The booking and the consultation, like a free consultation, it doesn't have to be long. Maybe you can do a consultation online. I don't know. But like, how can you make it as easy as possible for your client?
Mm-hmm. I think people need to look at that free point, right? They're not there yet. So like you said, making it easy to book the appointment. Maybe not everyone has the online versions of booking systems and websites and stuff. So you need to just look at what is the easiest way. Some people love texting and that's okay, or private DMs through your social media, but you still need to figure out how to make it simple and get the questions before they come in. Now, it could be, oh, great. Yes, you want to come get your lashes done. Do you currently have any lashes? Have you ever had it done before? Send me a picture. I just want to be ready and prepared so I have the right ones for you. You know, that type of idea. Yeah. Or a facial. Do you have any skin concerns or, you know, allergies? Like, we always forget about allergies. Why are we not asking this before they come in? So everything you need to know in a simple checklist or, you know, simple. It's like, is there anything I need to know medically about you? And a lot of times they know, but that doesn't mean they're done. You still need to do the form. Something in writing to cover yourself with insurance, because that's the ask and agreement, basically, is what mm-hmm. that is.
For the booking process, though, like if they're just inquiring, like I think first off, if you don't have a booking system, that's fine. How do people book with you? Like, do you have it on your profile that says book, DM to book, or text me, or whatever, like making that very clear? And then so when they do reach out, you can have those questions like your allergies as a save it in your notes or something.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
that can just get sent. But what that does is create a perception of reliability, and it starts to build a trust with the client and you, because you look professional. You look like you're organized. You don't have to be organized. You look like you're organized, and they feel comfortable and reassured that you're the right person for them. Right.
You could head that note as how to prep for your appointment. Mm-hmm. And just say a little list, like you said, save it in your notes on your phone or on your laptop or computer, or maybe you have a form on your online programs that you use.
Or Google form or something like that.
Google form is so easy to do. Yeah. And then you have a reference all the time there. But, you know, and then always that helpful links, like make it super simple that they click and go. I think that's a big one. They don't want to have to do hoops to get through, because they're going to say, oh, forget, I don't want to do this. And even though you make it really easy, sometimes they still don't fill out the form.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. You just sit there with them, say, hey, you know, while you enjoy your tea, you know, pull up your phone, go go to that email or that DM or that whatever you did. You just click on that link. It'll literally take you a minute, just if you could fill that out for me. And I still do
I think, too, in playing devil's advocate, like I do think you need to be cautious with how much you ask before you get the booking. Yeah. In the discussion, like if they're just as little questions as you need to book your client. Because I think there's a fine line between people like being like, oh, that's too much work. I just want to go in and get my brows waxed.
Yeah. Versus... It's not like a chiropractor appointment the first time you have those five forms you got to fill out.
Right. So I think just finding the balance. And honestly, yeah. I think that depends on your clients and your vibe and your city and whatever. You got to play around with it and see what's hitting and what's not. There was something that somebody said at the event we were at on Monday, and it was putting in your bio, if you're on Instagram, like not just the city, but where in the city. Like, are where you downtown? City? Are you in the south side? Whatever part, however your city designed or whatever, because that also gives people the information in terms of, is it feasible or not for me to, and it could be the thing that says, oh my God, yeah, this is right next to me. I'm downtown. This is great.
Right.
Without researching. So giving them that information. So that can also be part of that booking.
That's a big part of it. Yeah. And if you are downtown, do you have free parking?
Yeah. Putting that in there. Yeah.
Put in there too. Yeah. Downtown and free parking or something. Mm-hmm. Like if you do have it, really advertise that. Because a lot of people are like, I'm not going to pay anything.
This helps with that phase. Like we talk decision purchase phase. Like they're making the decision whether or not to go through with it. And you want to make it as easy as possible. You want to be as trustworthy. You want to come across as trustworthy and professional as possible.
No hindrance. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So number four, are we ready to move on to number four?
I think so.
All right. Retention. This is opening. Retention. This is what we're really all coming down to. It's number four. So I think that is a vague, that's more like the generalization. But I think if we took it into the world of aesthetics and beauty, instead of retention, can we say experience?
Yes.
Like, what are they going
to say? This is all about the experience.
Yeah.
From the beginning of how they found you, their journey. This is the journey of the client. So sometimes we need to look at that. It's not in the moment that they're in the room with you or at the table with you. It's the whole experience. From the beginning to the end. And then, yes, the core of it is in-house with you and how they're feeling, their experience, what was it like? And sometimes where we fall off a little bit is personalizing it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to, if you have a hard time keeping clients, then you need to sit back and look at where you're missing, what's going on, where's the points. And it's a hard look-in side.
Yeah.
Because you want to honor yourself, which is true, and be who you are. Absolutely. You don't need to change your values and your morals and your way of doing things. But there's something missing in it that you're not personalizing it all the way through with the journey.
And I think
consistently, that's
the journey. When you're talking about the journey, as soon as you were saying that, I literally had a visual of like this stick figure on this map and they're walking, because that, like, what would your client see when they walked into your studio or spa room, whatever you have, it doesn't matter.
They first see
Put yourself in their shoes. Yeah, how they see. But even like, am I coming in? I'll tell you, I booked a massage once and it was, my kids were little. My youngest was in preschool. I had only a little time. And so I found a lady who does it out of her house close to my neighborhood. I'm like, that's fine. I have no problems with that. I walk into the house and I walk in to a shoe explosion, which she has young kids. It's fine. But you are running a business. And my first perception of you is that you, it's just already I have the, I'm unsettled. It's cluttered. It's unorganized. I have that negative. And I don't want it to come off like judging, but in this industry, we are providing an experience. And that experience comes from the moment you walk in the door, especially massage. Like somebody's going to relax, right? Like you need to think about every touch point, like every interaction and what it looks like from your client's perspective. So if your client is coming through your door and you have a cluttered waiting area, or you don't like personally or warmly greet them, maybe you're with a client, but have like a nice greeting. I don't know what, like there needs to be some kind of like at every opportunity that you're continuing that experience, or you're starting the experience. The experience, like you said, doesn't start when they walk in the room and get the treatment. It starts when they walk in the door. It starts when they go on your page, on your online. Like all of these are touch points.
I really hate saying this, but yes, you're being judged.
Yeah.
In 3 seconds, they've made their decision.
Yeah.
And I think too, that we have to understand that this industry, especially I feel in this industry, it is an energy that you are creating. And it's like a hair salon. You go into the hair salon and it's loud and noisy and everyone's laughing and joking. You expect that because you know it, right? Yeah. But if you never walked into that hair salon, you had this beautiful image of hair being brushed and a soothing massage from their posts or whatever.
Yeah.
And then even the booking was really good. And then you walk in and go, holy cow, is it loud in here? But that's not what you showed. You know what I mean? That touch point again. And people are like, literally, I had in my spa, I had a very large waiting area, very open, windowy place. And when you would walk around the corner to see your client, they looked at your feet first. They saw you come, they looked at your feet, gazed you all the way up to your head. And no one really realized that until I pointed it out to them. So how do you look? What do you wear? I'm sorry, it's part of it. Now, you might have clients that'll forgive you that bad hair day. Maybe. I think we've gotten really relaxed in our imaging. I'm not, I don't wear a ton of makeup. I never have. But you just need to be groomed. Now, some people are, they run their business in a way of, and I'll just say it, you know, leggings, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. That's who you're bringing in, and you're successful and you're good, and that's great. So I'm speaking to people who are not, they're trying to have an image of this professional relaxation place, if you wish, that way.
Mm-hmm.
And more so estheticians and say full-on facial technicians, body, medi spas, like, you know, I think some of our industry can get away with a little bit of it, but they're still well kept. Like they still look good. They don't have a hole in their legging. You know what I'm saying? Like they, you know, they have their, not a lot of makeup, but they're done up clean, well, lashes on, their lash artists. So they have lashes on. That could be the first one. Or your professional, like your whole thing, you're focused on skincare, but yet your skin is off. You just need to be honest. Why? Oh, I have my own journey. Look at me. It's menopause. It, you know, I don't know. I just had a baby. I just tell, that's part of life. And that's giving a real experience, but they will see it. And I know from years and years of it, and it's hard. Like I had some people that joke all the time with me when I was younger, because then it was even a bigger image of having yourself done up, I think. But it was like set up in this way of everyone looked professional and clean, all black, let's say, or all white or white and black. Mm-hmm. But you were coming into a place of business with, you know, 10 workers and everyone was just everywhere with all sorts of things in the aesthetic side.
Yeah.
Hair is different. Hair is different.
Yeah, they have more fun on the hair side.
And they get to pull out that experience, who they are as a stylist, and they're artsy in there. And they show it.
I think all of that though. Yeah, they do. And all of that, like, I'm just going to bring us back because I think all of that just still, you're still talking about the experience. Like, you are setting the stage with the experience that you are going to give, because that energy, that, you know, judgment they're going to make when they look at you, whatever it is, it's going to set the tone. That's going to set the tone in their mind. So I think
I was going to add one thing on that too, really quick, right? At least my train of thought. I think sometimes too, what we do as professionals is each client, you're changing things for the client. So, why is your lights off today? That's weird. It's like, well, we're here to have that calming, relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you flick it back on to them. But what do you want to do? How do you want to create your atmosphere? Yeah. They will mold to you slowly, depending on what you're doing with them. So just be mindful of when you keep switching things around for your clients, because then Doreen and I go in and I say, oh, I saw a great facial from her and she did this and this, because we talk to each other, right? And you're like, we talk about lights are always on for me. There's no music. We just talk about light. Blah, blah, blah. There's no consistency. Yeah.
You don't consistency.
Who knows who. Yeah. Well, that's I think another touch point on the experience. Yeah. I just wanted to share before I forgot about
it. Absolutely. Okay. I just want to make sure we get through all our points before we have to wrap up this episode. Okay. So just on that retention, that's where we talked about consistency. We talked about impression. Like, what are they seeing when they come in? Mm-hmm. And then we also, part of that experience that you are providing is the relationship you're building, like a rapport, trust, like being warm, or I mean, whatever, like just personable. I don't know what the word is. I've gone up to, this is again, me on a tangent, but like sometimes I go up to a teller at the grocery store and they don't say anything to me, but some are like, and it's like, oh, hi. That to me seems so much more welcoming. But so the same thing in your spa, like if you walk in, or, and I've had this when I worked at the spa where people, the estheticians would come to get their clients and be like, oh, I'm ready for you. And it's like, okay. Or they just see their client and it's like,
so not
should always greet the client. Even when you've gotten familiar with them, always greet them with that same experience in mind. So
consistency.
You're
not your friend.
Professional, personable, but professional, like don't get too personal. Personable and not personal.
Yeah.
And then providing like an atmosphere, like the ambiance for your treatment. It doesn't have to be relaxing. If that's not your vibe, whatever you are doing, again, with the consistency from your social media and website to in person, just do your thing, because you will attract the people who are meant for you. You're not going to retain every client because you are not meant to do services on that client. They're looking for somebody who is not you, because not because of the quality of the work, but it could just be with the personality you didn't.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's why we always say you can collaborate. There's plenty of people for everybody. We don't get to have everybody. Yeah. They're not all for us.
Like what you said on that was that I always say to people, okay, they're in the, during the moment they walk in, the treatment, you say goodbye, they're not your friends.
Yeah.
I feel, this is just my level of what I take it to. When we're outside of it, sure, if that's my friend coming in, I remember weirding out friends and family. They'd be like, okay, why are you acting like this? You're my client right now. Please allow to service. I'm going to service you today. So I know you
I'll yell at you at home.
And we go and have wine and dinner all the time, but that's fine. Don't worry about it. Today you've come in and you're coming into my treatment room today.
Yeah. And that's important, because you still want to ask them the right questions. You still want to go through the whole thing. Because a lot of times when we're too familiar, we skip over those little things.
We know.
But those things are important. And I think
consistency of your
reading,
your brand of who you are during and all of the ambiance, right? And then the energy you bring into this is really important. And then that consistency builds comfort. They know. It's like, especially if you
know what to expect
really well. This was a big challenge when you know them that well. Come every month, let's say, for their lashes, nails, skincare, whatever it may be, waxing. How do you still give it to them all the time when, you know, that level? And I, you know, it sounds robotic, but it's just being consistent. And it, I guess it depends like on that part of you, what you want to give and how you want to do it. And, you know, if they want to be quiet today, but you think you're going to have a big talk with them that day because you did last time, you should still just step back a bit and let them guide you into how this treatment's going to go in that talking point. But I think we got that.
And I think then just part of your retention and after they've left your treatment and their service is done is just making sure that you're checking in, you're doing a follow-up, because that, again, is not like your treatment. It doesn't begin when they walk out the room and it doesn't end when they just leave the room. So having that continuity in your treatment. And I think the other thing, the last point that we'll have as part of this journey is the advocacy portion of it. And we kind of talked about it a little bit with when you're telling people about yourself, but ask for your clients to write a review if possible. Ask for your clients to refer. Say, you know what, I am working, you know, I offer facials. If you know anyone, please refer them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've had discussions in other episodes about like loyalty programs or whatever you want to do, but just having that, asking them to share a post or take a picture of their feet and post them, whatever it is, just asking for that advocacy from your clients mm-hmm. and your friends and your colleagues, and just kind of continuing that experience for your client.
Yeah. And if you don't ask, mm-hmm. then they don't do it. And it's interesting because someone's, oh, if you know, tag me, if you do a review on Google, I'll enter your name in a prize. It's mm-hmm. like, I would just ask them.
Yeah.
And say, you know, thank you.
The other thing,
you don't have to dangle something all the time. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, you don't. And I don't think you do. Like that's, yeah. I went into a chiropractor and they had like a QR code where you can scan to leave a review. You can just make it easy if that's what you want. And I think the other thing is, and this is like the feedback, you want to know if there was something that could have been better. But a lot of times, if you just ask somebody face to face, they might not be comfortable.
Right away.
Not right away. So maybe part of your follow up when you say, I hope you enjoyed this experience, blah, blah, I don't know, whatever your follow up is, or how's your skin feeling? Then you can also include a feedback form. And then if you have anything that would help us improve our service for the next time, let us know. So just having that feedback, because I think it's important to let your clients know. And this is part of building the relationship, is if there's anything that you wanted changed, or like, I want to know if there's something you didn't like. I might not be able to fix it, but you know, if it's something like, oh, you thought the music was too loud, well, tell me. Then I'll next time I'll know that I need to turn it down a little bit or whatever, right?
Exactly.
You can make tweaks, not changing, but just making tweaks to.
Well, that could be something that I love. So it's knowing your client. That's the other thing. You, little tiny tweaks, not full on changes, maybe. Right. Maybe it's just tweaking and pick one thing. Just don't think you have to do all of this at once. Pick one thing that you can kind of conquer and look into that honors you, who you are, how you want this to be. And then maybe take another step into it and slowly go into it. You know, that's, I think, will be helpful.
Yeah. So I think to wrap it up, we have kind of set the stage in, I'm still seeing the stick figure person walking across the, but I think I'm a visual person, visualizing what your client would go through from the moment they think I need the service to the moment they leave the room. How can you make it a unique experience? Thinking of every point along this imaginary map and think how to create that experience where your clients are going to remember you and want to come back every time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you have staff, you need to create the protocols.
You do. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You just have to do it. Make it part of their training. Right from the beginning, do touch points with your staff when they first start out. I do every week meetings for the first month for sure to 6 weeks. And then you can say, okay, we're going to meet in 2 weeks. Then you slowly go away. And it's a lot of work when you run a business and have staff or other people who rent rooms from you. It's still your place of business that they're coming into. Right. So just, I'm not talking studios. I'm talking renting a room out of your salon, out of your place that you have, right? So looking at it all, making sure it's very consistent is important. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do reach out if you have questions for us. We're always happy to help.
Or to tell us stories.
Oh, yes. We love stories.
What's worked for you or what hasn't?
Yes. Or the, oh my God, the terrible things that can happen. We can go on with that, but we're not going to today.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.